Are we on? We are. Hello. Well, it's so good to see all of you tonight. How's everybody doing? Are we awake? Kind of, right? A little tired, a little hot. It's miserable out there. Well, thank you so much, Carmen, for that. Just such a sweet introduction. I told her I keep wanting to call her Megan because she looks like Meghan Markle. So if I start calling her Megan, then you know why. But okay, that worship, oh, it was so good. I could just listen to that all night. Oh my goodness. I mean, what a gift. The Lord has given each of you young ladies such a gift. And I'm really jealous of the girl on the djembe because I'm like, you know what? I wish I had that kind of rhythm. I mean, I'm like watching her and I'm like, how does she do it? You know? She's, oh, those girls. Awesome. You keep doing what the Lord's called you to do. Well, I am so excited to be here tonight, and Lori, thank you so much for asking me to come. I actually got really emotional when I got the email from Lori, and I cried, and I told my husband I was so excited, not being overdramatic, I'm serious, and it just blessed my heart so much that you guys wanted to have me back, you know, because I'm not anything, so thank you. I love all of you so much, but when she told me the theme for tonight, Determined to Encourage, I really liked that because I think so often when we come to church, we're hoping it's going to be another message for us, something to help us with whatever we're going through, something that's going to be just what we need. And I hope that's what it is tonight. But often we don't really hear messages on how we as believers can be an encouragement to somebody else through what they're going through, what might be going on in their lives. Because let's just face it, ladies, we're a little selfish. How many of you in here are selfish? Okay, if you don't raise your hands, that's just wrong, okay? We're all sinners. We're all sinners, right? We are all selfish. If you weren't selfish, you would have came here in your bathrobe with your hair in curlers, right? Because, I mean, heaven forbid you come here looking like a mess, okay? You know, you came with your new shoes and you tried to look presentable and, you know, we're all selfish, okay? Now, one of the main ways that we know this is by that wonderful little thing we like to call selfies. Okay, I'm totally against selfies. Is anyone else against selfies? Okay, so I just can't stand them, you know? And it's like the first four letters is what? Self. Right? And, you know, there's supposed to be these like informal photos of you just like, you know, but the problem is it takes like 500 to get one good one, right? So, you know, by the time you post it, those people are thinking, oh, she just took, no, it took you 500 photos to get that photo. And then when you found the one where you look just right, because that chin and the neck and pull it back. And, you know, by the time you filter and you edit and you crop and you blur, and you put, you know, some sort of filter on it, you don't even look like you. I mean, sometimes I would see these selfies and I'm like, who is that person? And I just want to put a word out there for those of you ladies who use the one app that like blurs the wrinkles. Stop. Just stop. Because sometimes your skin looks so blurry and smooth, it's like a blob of skin. Wrinkles are pretty. God gave you wrinkles and they're beautiful. So stop blurring them out, okay? All right. So we're selfish. You know, who's the first person you look at when you take a photo? Yourself. And this is how we know, right? Because you're looking through with your friend. You just took like 10 photos together and you're like, oh, this one's so cute. I'm going to post that one. And she's like, my eyes are closed. Now, why didn't you know that? Because you weren't looking at your friend. You were looking at you, right? So we're selfish people, okay? We know this, yes, yes. Sometimes we're a little too self-absorbed. But how often do we take our eyes off of ourselves for just a few minutes and put them on the people who are around us who maybe desperately need some encouragement, who need someone to pray with them, who need someone to just give them a hug? When's the last time you really just hugged somebody and meant it? And my prayer for each and every one of us tonight, including myself, is that we will get our eyes off of ourselves and put them on our sisters around us who really need to know that God loves them, that we'll be determined when we leave here tonight to encourage others. But how do we do it? Okay, because it's easy to say, let's encourage other people, but I mean, what does that look like practically? Well, we're going to look at 2 points. So if you brought a notepad and a pen or your phone or whatever, write it down. We're going to look at 2 points. The first one is pour in. Find your comfort in God. And number 2, pour out. Share God's comfort with others. And if you brought your Bible, which I really hope you did, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And while you're doing that, let's open up in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you, God, that you brought each and every one of us here safely. God, I pray for any women that might still be trying to come, that, God, they wouldn't turn around, but they would get here, Lord. Thank you for each one of these precious ladies here tonight. Would you speak to us, God, through your word? God, don't let it be me or my words. God, please speak through me and show us what you want us to see tonight. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 together. So let's dive in. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. I love those scriptures. You know, Paul the Apostle here is writing a letter to the Corinthian church, and he's giving them some encouragement. The Corinthians were probably going through persecution of their own, probably because of their faith. They were living in a very wicked town in a wicked time, and just like many of us today, they were probably being persecuted for the faith. And so Paul was telling them that the same comfort that God had given them as the apostles, he was going to give them as well. It was going to be okay. And Paul might have been, you know, he goes on later in the chapter to describe some hardships that they were going through. And we don't know exactly what they were, but they were probably gospel related. But I think that his words about God's comfort and how God comforts us and how we can comfort others is applicable to each and every one of us in this room tonight, no matter what we're going through. Because each and every one of us as believers are going to face trials, right? Has anyone not faced a trial in their life? Thank goodness, right? Because if you haven't, you're going to. And whatever those trials are, we can know that we have God's comfort and that his comfort is going to pour out of us. Why? Because Paul says, we can comfort others with the same comfort we've been given. And what comfort is that? Well, we have comfort from the God of all comfort. Paul says he's the God of all comfort. How much is all? All. It's everything, right? It's not just a drop. It's not just a little pat on the back. It's not just a tissue when you're having a bad day. He's the God of all comfort. Which leads us to our first point. Pour in. Find your comfort in God. That's the first thing we have to do. The only way that me and you, as women of God, are going to be able to encourage other people is if we first know where to get encouragement and comfort from. Because if we don't have that right, then there's no way we're going to be able to encourage our sisters around us, right? There's no way. We have to understand where it comes from first. Now, many of you in this room tonight, and I believe it because I believe the Lord put on my heart that many of you are going through some severe trials tonight. And I don't know what they are, but He does. And it's who you rely on in those trials. It's what you rely on. It's who you run to that determines how you're going to get through it. And not only determines how you're going to get through it, but it's going to determine how you're able to minister to other women who are going through the same exact thing. If you as a Christian are not finding your source of encouragement and comfort from the God of all comfort, first of all, you're going to fall miserably. And secondly, you'll never be able to help the women around you. It'll be like the blind leading the blind. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get far. So my first question to each of you ladies tonight is, who or what are you relying on to get through the trial you're facing right now? Or the trial you're going to face? Are you relying on a doctor's wisdom? Well, my doctor said, you know, this is what it's going to be, and I trust my doctor. Are you relying on a self-help book that you got on Amazon and had it shipped Prime because it had 5 stars and 6,000 reviews, and this is going to change your life? Are you relying on a 10-step program? Maybe for some of you, it's a drink. It's alcohol. Maybe for some of you, it's a drug. Hey, I know weed is legal in California, but it's not legal in the Bible. And many of you might disagree with that, but you can take it up with Jesus. Some of you might be relying on a relationship. You might be relying on your spouse. You might be relying on a boyfriend or a bestie. You guys talk about everything, and she's always there for you. But ladies, we have to realize here tonight that there is no one and there is no thing that will bring you the relief, the comfort, the strength, and the encouragement that you are so desperately looking for in your trial right now, other than God Himself. Nobody, nothing, only God. Why? Why? Because He is the God of all comfort. He's the one that can do it, right? Some definitions of comfort are a state of physical ease and freedom from pain. The easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. Do you want alleviation from your feelings of grief and distress tonight? Only God, the God of all comfort, is going to be able to do that for you tonight. The answer is always going to be God. Nothing more and nothing less. But so often, even as Christians, we look elsewhere. We look and we do what the world does. And we try to find our comfort and encouragement how they do. Because maybe it works and maybe God isn't enough. And maybe, you know, there's something else in addition to God that I need. Well, God and. There's no God and. There's just God, period. And He's the only one that can deliver. When is the last time you took that trial, the thing you're going through right now, or the thing you went through that you're still bitter about and you're not over it yet? When is the last time you took that to God and said, God, help me. Help me. I need your comfort. The only person that is going to be able to truly sympathize with us is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. We read in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is the only one that can sympathize with us. How often or how many times have you gone to a person for prayer or help or encouragement? You're at your wit's end. And you go to them and you're like, I need prayer. I'm going through this. It's so heavy, you know, and you're distraught. And how many times have you gone to someone and they're just kind of like, oh, well, you know, you're going to be fine. God's going to get you through. He'll give you the strength. If he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. Let's just pray. Does that help you? Was that the answer you were looking for? No. People are people. They're sinners, okay? They're sinners and they're selfish, just like me and you. They don't care. Sometimes they do, and praise God for those people that genuinely care and are determined to encourage, because it makes a difference. It really does. But unless we understand in our own lives that God is the only one that's going to truly sympathize with us and bring us through, we're never going to be able to help anybody else. I love this verse that God gave in Jeremiah 2:13. He's speaking to his people, and God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You know, if you look back on the life of the Israelites, God's people, here they had God of the universe. They had God of the heavens and the earth who could do the impossible, who split the Red Sea, who made food come down from heaven. And yet, what did they do? They built idols out of wood and stone. And when they were in trouble, who did they cry out to? Gods that couldn't hear. There is no other God. There's only one God, and he's in heaven, right? But they would run to those broken cisterns. It's a bucket that can't hold water. And ladies, anything that we run to, anyone that we run to, is like a bucket with a hole in the bottom. No matter how many times you run to them to get your fill of encouragement, to get your strength, to get your comfort, guess what? There's going to be a hole in the bottom. It's a broken cistern. They can't help you. They can't relieve the pain. Only God can do that. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, that sounds great, but how do I practically get God's comfort? How do I practically get his encouragement? Well, there is one answer for that, and it's right here. This is the only place that you ladies are going to find God's comfort and God's encouragement is in the pages of his word. You know, I think one of the biggest problems in our Christian society nowadays is we've listened to the lie of Satan that this book is not enough, that we don't need this book, that it's not enough. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. If anybody tells you or preaches from the pulpit that this isn't life-changing, that this isn't all you need, then something is wrong. Because this right here is God's word, and this is the only thing that's going to help you. That's it. No more, no less. But guess what? You're not going to know that unless you read it. You've got to read it. Sometimes our Bibles are on the shelf, in the corner, collecting dust. You know, we're dusting along and whoop, whoop, dust off the Bible. You know, okay, looks shiny now. No, we've got to pull it out. We've got to read it. Why? Because in God's word, you're going to find hope. Did you know God is the God of all comfort, but he's also the God of all hope? In his word, you're going to find peace. In Philippians chapter 4, we read that God can give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't you want peace right now? He'll give you peace. What about strength? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. One of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 41:10, God says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." You want encouragement? You want comfort? You want joy? It's all right here. But you're never going to find that unless you read it. You've got to read it every day. And my challenge to each one of you ladies tonight is to get in your Bible every day. Every day, not every other week, not every other month, not every other day, every single day. Because you know what? The Scripture of the Day app isn't going to cut it. Okay, you get the scripture that pops up on your phone every morning. That's not enough, okay? It's not enough. You have to be in God's Word. One thing I want to share with you ladies is in some of the deepest and darkest days of my life. I'm going to share one of those with you in a little bit, but in my times of greatest despair in my life, and yes, I've had them, I think sometimes we think that maybe the worship team or the women's leadership, maybe they haven't been through anything and their life is smooth. It's so easy to look at other people around us and think, oh, she hasn't been through anything, right? In some of the darkest moments of my life, when I literally didn't want to wake up the next morning, I'm not saying that lightly, I mean it, where I didn't want to live, I didn't want to go on. And literally the only thing I could do was to take my Bible, my actual Bible, and lay on the floor and just cry into the pages. Literally cry into the pages because I had no words. None. And I don't know what I would have done in those times if I didn't have God's word. I wouldn't have been able to get through. You've got to rely on God's word. You've got to stand on it. You've got to live it. You've got to breathe it. You've got to let it pour into your soul. An app doesn't cut it. A devotional doesn't cut it. A good podcast doesn't cut it. You've got to listen to God's word. You've got to read it. You've got to let it pour into your soul every single day. God showed me a really great analogy just to drive this home. We have this amazing grapefruit tree in our front yard, okay? Well, I will say it was amazing. And when we moved in, it was lush. I mean, it's like, it should have been on a magazine, you know? It was full, the branches were beautiful, the leaves, and there was so many grapefruit trees. So many grapefruit, I thought I was gonna lose my mind because they'd fall all over the ground and it was a mess. But this thing was just, it was alive, it was healthy, it was gorgeous. And then we went through that drought we had a couple of years ago. Do you remember that drought? Okay, I don't know if it was bad out here as it was in Riverside, but we weren't allowed to water. They had us on like water restrictions. I mean, it's like, I was scared to drink a glass of water. I thought they were gonna show up at my doorstep and be like, how much water have you drank today? But it's like, it was that bad. We were getting letters, we were getting notices. I'm like, okay. So what happened to that grapefruit tree? Well, it barely survived. And if you pass my house today, you'd be like, oh, looks like that grapefruit tree didn't fare so well. We like to lovingly call it the Halloween tree now. I don't like Halloween, but it's like those pictures that you see where it's all like shriveled up and there's bats and like a black cat in the branches. That's what our tree looks like, okay? We really just need to cut it down, but I just don't have the heart. But God showed me, ladies, that that's what me and you are like when we're not letting the water of God's word come into our heart every single day. We're like that sad little shriveled up grapefruit tree. We're not going to have any fruit to give anyone else, right? Because we're going to be shriveled up. We're not going to be having the water of God's word coming into us. Jesus is the water of life. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." If we want to be encouraged and we want to be able to encourage others, we have to have God's word pouring into us every single day. So I'm sending out a challenge tonight, okay, ladies? If you're not in your word every single day, start tonight, okay? I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. You're not going to feel like it. You're not going to want to. Satan's going to attack you, so be prepared. You think, oh, that'll be easy. I'll start reading God's word every day. Oh, just wait. Batten down the hatches because Satan's going to be like, oh, no, she didn't. And you know what? You're going to hold your word and you're going to say, yes, I am, on the word of God, okay? So what me and my son like to do, my almost 9-year-old, is we'll pick a book in the Bible that we really want to read. So a few months ago, we did Genesis. He really wanted to read through Genesis. I'm like, whoo, okay, son, we're getting in it. And it was so awesome because all we would do is we'd just read one chapter a day. So let's say it was August 1st. We did Genesis 1 on August 1st and Genesis 2 on August 2nd and go, you know, so on, you know. So pick a book in the Bible that you've really been wanting to read and read a chapter of it every day. A chapter of the Bible is so short. It really is. It goes like that. You can read it in 5 minutes, okay? So get in your Bible every single day, okay? Read a chapter. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, I just don't have time for that. Okay, well, let's talk about that right now, okay? Because what is usually the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning? Don't lie, ladies, don't lie. You pull out that smartphone and you check Instagram. You check your Facebook status. You go online, you check your emails. It's like as soon as our eyes open, where's my phone? Right? And we check and we scroll. And it's like 5 minutes, and then we have to get ready, brush our teeth, and we're out the door, right? Okay, so tomorrow morning, instead of picking up your phone, pick up your Bible and read that first. Okay, I mean, I'm serious, and this is something I have to challenge myself because I fail a lot, okay? So, what's going to be the result as we're going to God's Word, as we're letting His water pour into us, as we're getting encouraged, as we're filled with comfort? What's going to happen? Well, we're going to be full to the brim. And Paul even says our comfort's going to overflow. So what does that mean? Well, it's time to pour out. And that's our second point, pour out. Share God's comfort with others. There are so many women around us that are dying for lack of water. Did you know that? They're dying for the word. They are dying for encouragement. They are dying for comfort, for someone to come alongside them and say, I've been through that. For someone to come alongside them and tell them that God loves them, that God has not forgotten about them, that God has a plan. And just as He brought you through it, He's going to bring them through it. There's so many women that need to hear that. And how can they hear that? How can they know that? Because Paul says in our verses in 2 Corinthians that we can comfort them with the same comfort we have received. He says we can comfort people in any trouble because we've gone through it and we've received God's comfort. What does this look like? Ladies, I can't tell you how many times God has brought me through a trial. You know, it could be a million different things. And a lady will come into my life, you know, maybe years down the road, and she's just going through that same thing. And I'm able to minister to her and encourage her. It's incredible. Have any of you ever experienced that? I hope so. I think sometimes in the darkest seasons and in the worst trials of our life, we tend to ask God why. Have you ever asked God why in a trial? Be honest. I have. In one of the darkest seasons and trials in my life, and I'll share that with you, and you know, I prayed over it because there was a couple different ones, but I really felt like for someone in this room, it might apply. It might not apply to any of you. It might only apply to one or two of you, but the comfort is the same, okay? So when my husband and I first got married, you know, we were just like any other newlywed couple, and people used to ask us, you know, how many kids do you guys want? And we'd say, oh, at least 5 or 6, and we were serious, okay? We wanted at least 5 or 6 kids, and it was just, you know, he wanted a lot of kids. I'd wanted kids since the day I came out of the womb, you know? I was like one of those girls that was like stealing everyone's babies, so it's like I wanted 5 or 6 kids, and so, you know, a year and a half into our marriage, I got pregnant. I was so excited. He was so excited. We were like, woohoo, number one of our upcoming 6. And I'll never forget when we went to the doctors and we saw that little baby on the screen, so precious. We were so excited. And within seconds, that all just shattered as the doctor turned to us and said, there's no heartbeat. Our little baby's heart stopped beating. And in that moment, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And I remember standing in the parking lot, sobbing, saying, why me? Why me? God, this happens to other people. Why me? Why my baby? And I wasn't angry at God. I just didn't understand it. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. So fast forward, months later, and we were trying again, and we're like, Lord, please, God, we know you can do it. You can give us another baby. Nothing's impossible for God. I got pregnant and had another miscarriage, and I couldn't believe it. The first one was bad enough. The second one was worse. And I just didn't know why. Why, Lord, why, you know? Searching the scriptures. And I could teach a whole nother message on this, and we'll have to save it for another time, so I'm going to speed it up a little bit. But we believed that God was going to do something. We did. We knew it. And if I told you every miracle that God did, because it was 5 years until we had our firstborn son, if I told you every miracle that God did in that time, if I told you, I mean, it's incredible. I have to come back and teach on that, because God literally did miracles. When I got pregnant with my firstborn son, I thought I lost him twice. Woke up in the middle of the night with blood, everything. And there he was with his heart beating on the screen. And he's going to be 9 in November. Praise the Lord, right? So he's our Isaac. He's our Isaac. His name is Zechariah, because that means God is remembered. But he's our Isaac. So then, you know, the years are rolling by, and I'm not getting any younger. And we're trying to get pregnant again. You know, Lord, if you only want to give us one, that's okay. It's okay, right? If God, you know, one's enough. That's our miracle. I'm thankful for one. Deep down, especially my husband's heart, he really wanted another one. He said, okay, Lord, you know, if you want to do it, do it. I'm trying to speed this story along, but it's just, I feel like I need to share it. So we're trying and trying for years and nothing. Countless negative pregnancy tests. I mean, you know, you name it, we tried, you know. But I didn't want to take it out of God's hands. I didn't want to do certain things, you know. I wanted to keep it in the Lord's hands. And so we finally got pregnant after years of trying. I was so excited. I mean, I could hardly contain it. And we had another miscarriage. And I said, Lord, three. I was supposed to be the mom with 5 or 6 kids. What happened? You know, God reminded me, well, I gave you one miracle. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then almost 2 years ago, God did give us our second miracle baby. And we have 2. And they are miracles, ladies. They are miracles. But you know what? In those times that I asked God why, and it still hurts, ladies. Just this morning, I was thinking to the Lord, I don't have 5 here, but I'll have 5 in heaven. God doesn't always answer the way we think he's going to answer. Things don't always happen in our life the way we think they're meant to happen. But why? Well, God gives us his comfort so we can give it to someone else. Because, ladies, I can't tell you how many women have come into my life with the same story. They can't get pregnant. They've been trying for years. They're struggling with infertility. They've lost babies. They've had stillbirth. They've had miscarriage on miscarriage. And God's been able to use my story that I can tell them, no, God can do the impossible. It doesn't matter what your doctor says. It doesn't matter how many negative pregnancy tests. It doesn't matter how many babies you've lost here on this earth. God can do the miraculous. And sometimes in those moments, I feel like I've had a little bit of that why answered. You know, all those 9 years ago and 3 years ago when I asked God why, he says, this is why. This is part of it. This is just part of it. So you can give that comfort to someone else. Just 2 weeks ago today, I was able to talk to my sweet friend who I hadn't seen in years. And she came up to me and she started talking to me. And she'd had a miscarriage over the 4th of July. And I was able to just cry with her. And it was in that moment I thought, oh God, I was able to comfort her. I could have never done that, ladies. I could have never been able to sympathize with her or cry with her or give her a hug and really mean it unless I had been through it myself. I wouldn't have been able to. You know, people always say don't ask God for certain things because you might get what you ask for, right? Well, I remember probably about, maybe 13 years ago. You know, I was really young and, you know, very immature. And, you know, people would come up for counseling and for prayer, and I would try so hard to sympathize with them. And I felt so bad for the things they were going through, but I just didn't have tears for them. I didn't have like a real, I wanted to cry with them. I wanted to sympathize with them, but I hadn't really been through anything. So I prayed and asked God, God, would you give me tears for people? That's a dangerous prayer. That's right. And so for the next, I want to say decade, I had to go to the depths. I had to go to difficult places. And it was hard. But God answered that prayer. And now when I cry with someone, it's genuine. And I'm thankful that I can understand a little bit of somebody's pain. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. And who's our greatest example? We already mentioned it earlier. Jesus, right? He's our greatest example of this. One of my favorite Bible stories, and I want you all to go home and read it tonight, is John chapter 11. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to read a couple of verses. But in John chapter 11 is one of my favorite Bible stories. True story. And it has to do with Jesus' really close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, right? And if you've heard the story, you know the story. Mary and Martha, God bless you, sent word to Jesus and said, "Our brother's sick. Lazarus is sick. Jesus, you've got to come." Well, he didn't come right away, did he? And Lazarus dies. Their brother dies. And when Jesus comes in on the scene a few days later, Mary and Martha both are distraught. If you've lost a loved one, you know the feeling. They're distraught. And they both say to Jesus, "Jesus, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd been here." How many times have you been in that place? "God, if you'd been here, they wouldn't have died. If you'd been here, it wouldn't have happened." They're distraught, right? And Jesus comes in. And I just want to share a couple of the verses with you. In verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied." And in verse 35, we read, "Jesus wept." He wept. This was God in the flesh. Don't you think Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? And I heard in a message recently, and it just totally struck home. Jesus could have just been like, "Oh, it's okay, girls. I'm going to do the miracle here. So just stand back. No more tears, girls," you know. Is that what he did? Jesus saw their pain. He felt their pain, and he wept with them. Regardless of the fact that he was going to do a miracle, he felt their pain. He wept. Sometimes, ladies, the biggest way that we can encourage someone else is by weeping with them. I think sometimes as Christians, we get stuck in this little rut where we just feel like we have to have just the right word, and we have to have just the right scripture, and we have to just be able to package it up and put it nice and pat them on the shoulder and pray for them right away, and everything's going to be okay. We feel like we have to have just the right answer. Sometimes you need to just stop like Jesus did and just cry with them. Maybe you've never been through what they have, maybe you have, but regardless, cry with them. Hold their hand. Let them cry. Let them cry. You need to let people cry. It's okay. Jesus did. All right? We read in Matthew 5:4, Jesus says, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted." They'll be comforted from the God of all comfort. Romans 12:15 tells us, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Okay? Now, if you're one of those people that cannot cry with others, like I was, pray and ask the Lord to give you a heart for people. Pray and ask God to, you know, even if you haven't been through what they've been through, that God will give you a sensitive heart to cry with them, or at least just to look at them with love and understanding and let them cry. Pray for it. God will answer the prayer. He will. What trials has God allowed in your ladies' lives here tonight? A lot, right? Maybe it was a year ago. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's been the last 10 years. Maybe it was something you went through 20 years ago. What is it for you? Just as God used those miscarriages in my life to comfort others with the comfort he'd given me, God wants to use your trials to comfort someone else. God wants to use your trials to comfort somebody else. You know, we've heard it said before, don't waste your pain. Ladies, don't waste your trial. Don't be selfish. Give the comfort that God has given you to somebody else. Maybe for you, you've lost a child. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe for you, it was a cancer diagnosis. Maybe it was your journey through cancer. Maybe you're going through it right now. Maybe for you, it's your ongoing illness or disease that you have to deal with every single day of your life. An ongoing disease. Many of us have that. Maybe for you, it's a disability. Maybe it's your ongoing battle with depression, anxiety. Maybe it's a miracle that God did in your life that he wants you to share that you've never told anyone. What is it in your life that God wants to use? What could he want to use in it that he's brought in your life that he wants you to use in the women around you? Maybe even right now, God's bringing someone to your mind that you know you need to encourage. God's brought them to your mind right now, and I hope he brings someone to your mind. Maybe the why that you've been looking for is right in front of you. Maybe it's that person that's going exactly through what you went through, and God wants you to minister to them. Don't be quiet. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk to them, and if you both cry together, that's great. Praise God. It's wonderful. How blessed that we can weep with those who weep. Why have you been through the things you've been through? Because of what Paul said. So that you can comfort others with the same comfort you've been given. That's why. So we can comfort others. Ladies, just as I said before, there are so many women that are dying for encouragement. They're dying in their situation. They have no one else to help them. God brought people in my life during that season. He did, that had had miscarriages. And they were some of the most crucial people in my life during that time. Don't waste your trial. Use it to minister to somebody else. I want to give you that challenge to find somebody, to pray that God will bring you someone that you can encourage through what you've been through. So what happens when we do this? What happens when we're determined to encourage someone else? Well, I think number one, you're going to get your eyes off yourself and you're going to start to feel a lot better. How many times have you been in a slump and you've went out and encouraged someone else and you feel better, right? Isn't it true? You can be having a horrible day, but when you get your eyes off yourself and put them on someone else, you can start feeling so much better. I can't tell you how many times that God has brought women into my life that have gone through, like I said earlier, miscarriages, whatever. And as I'm talking to them, as I'm telling them that God can do the impossible, as I'm telling them that, God's going to bring them through and I'm crying with them, I feel so encouraged because I start remembering all the things that God's done in my life. And it's incredible. It boosts my faith. So you're going to get your eyes off yourself. You're going to start feeling better. Number two, you might start to have some of the whys answered in your life. You might, because God might show you this is why. This is part of it. Number three, another thing you might start to see is that you'll be encouraged in your faith. You'll be encouraged in your faith. It's cool how God does that. I love, there's a verse that I absolutely love in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 11:25, and it says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." So ladies, when you're going around with your little watering can of encouragement, pouring out God's comfort to other women, God's going to be pouring the watering can on you while you're doing it. That's how good God is. Isn't God so good? He doesn't have to do that. But as we're out encouraging and comforting others, his love and encouragement is going to be pouring on us. It's amazing. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up." Oh, ladies, let's not watch the women around us fall. Let's not leave them there. Let's pick them up. Let's grab them by the hand. Let's be that encouragement to them. As we start to kind of bring this to a close and wrap it up a little bit, I want to share with you some practical things that you can do to bring encouragement to other people. These are some easy things that all of us can do, and I want you to write them down, but sometimes it's the simplest, most practical things that can mean the most to somebody else. In another really difficult season of my life, I had a really dear friend. I just love her to pieces. And she was determined to encourage me, that girl. She wouldn't leave me alone. And it was amazing. I needed it. And, you know, she would just do the simplest things. She would send me a text message. And she would say, I'm praying for you. She'd put a scripture. And she would just send them. I can't tell you how many times that text was straight from God, right when I needed it. Send a text. Do it. Get out your phone, send that person a text, tell them God loves them, include a scripture, that's it, just send it off. You never know if it'll come at just the right moment for them. Another thing she would do is sometimes she'd literally drop off like the best little things on the doorstep. She wouldn't bother me, she knew what was going on, she wouldn't bother me. But one time she left a cinnamon roll and a cup of coffee. I'm like, girl, I love you, okay? God knew just what I needed today. Sometimes it's something like that. If they live close to you, bring them their favorite treat and write a little note with their scripture and just say, God loves you. I'm praying for you. You don't know how that could change somebody's day. Another thing you can do is just write an actual handwritten card with a stamp. Does everyone still know what stamps are? There's those little paper things that you stick on envelopes. Write a handwritten card and send it in the mail. Isn't it exciting when you get something other than a bill? You're like, I got a card, right? It's like the best thing ever. And a couple months ago, a young lady who had a stillbirth in December, God put her on my heart, and I sent her a card. And she texted me and said, the card came on the exact day that I needed it. That's God. That was God. He put it on my heart. That was his doing, right? So it's little things just like that. You'll never know how they can encourage someone else. So I'm throwing that challenge out to each and every one of you ladies, okay? So challenge number one was get in your word. How often do you need to get in your word? How often? Once a week? Right? So every day get in your word, right? That's challenge number one. You need to pour God's word into your life. Challenge number two, what was challenge number two that I just gave you? Find somebody, ask the Lord, and pray that God will bring someone into your life, and maybe he already is right now. Maybe it's the girl sitting next to you. Maybe it's the girl in front of you. Why don't you just give someone next to you a hug right now? Give them a hug. They need a hug. It's been a long day. Give them a squeeze. Give them a good squeeze, girls. Tell them God loves them. Didn't that feel good? Didn't you just feel it? Yeah, I hug myself. So, Jesus gave me a hug, so I'm good. Sometimes that's all it takes, okay? It doesn't have to be anything big, dramatic. You don't have to do this and that, take them on a vacation. No. Sometimes it's just give them a hug, right? Although we would love a vacation. Give them a hug and tell them that God loves them. So those are your two challenges this week. Get in your word and encourage someone else. Be determined to do it, okay? And as we close here tonight, I realize, and I'm so thankful the Lord brought this to mind in our time of prayer earlier. There may be some in this room here tonight that have never felt God's comfort. There might be someone here tonight that you don't know what we're talking about. Because you've never experienced it. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, I want that. I want comfort. I want encouragement. I want to know God. I want his comfort to pour into my life. I want to know that he's going to carry me through. I want to know that no matter what I'm facing, I have a God in heaven who loves me more than anyone or anything. You want that comfort. You want that peace. You want that strength. You want what each of us have in this room. Well, guess what? You can have it. And it doesn't cost a thing. The only thing it costs is your heart. And you saying, God, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I want your comfort. I want your love. That's all God's asking. He just wants you. You don't have to bring anything else. He just wants you. That's it. And he accepts you just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up and get your act together. You don't have to know a scripture verse or just have the right words. No, God wants you just as you are here tonight. Whether you've known him, about him all your life, or you haven't known him at all. Maybe some of you have drifted away from God's comfort and you've been relying on other things, other people. And it's time to come back to the Father tonight. So why don't we all just bow our heads? I want everybody's eyes closed, ladies, please. Everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. And we're just going to go into a time of prayer. I just want to speak specifically maybe to those women tonight that have never asked Jesus Christ to come into their hearts. And you want God's comfort and you want God's peace and you want God's strength. And if that's you here tonight and you want to commit your life, you want to give your heart, just saying, God, take my life, take my heart, come into my heart. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, just for you. He wants to come in your life. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to strengthen you and help you through your trials. And if you've never made that commitment, or if you want to come back and make a recommitment to God, would you just lift your hand up? Don't be shy. No one's peeking around. Nobody's looking. This is just between you and God. Just lift your hand up and say, God, I want you to come into my life. He sees your hand. God bless you. He sees you. He sees you. This is between you and him. You can put your hands down. For those of you that raised your hand, I just want you to pray this prayer. Just pray it. You can pray it in your heart. You can pray it out loud. But just pray this prayer after me to God. And this is between you and God. God, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. God, thank you for sending Jesus to save me. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, be my Savior, be my friend, be my God, be my comfort, be my strength. Come into my heart in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful for you ladies that prayed that prayer. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are still closed, I also want to talk to you ladies that maybe have been relying on other things outside of God to be your comfort and to be your strength, and you know what those things are. And God has probably brought them to mind. You can keep your eyes closed, ladies, heads bowed. Maybe God's bringing some of those things to your mind right now that you know you've been relying on outside of him. And I just want you ladies, if that's any of you in here, I just want you to just pray this prayer with me, just asking God to be your only comfort, your only strength. So just pray this in your heart right now and pray it to God. Oh God, I've drifted from you being my only comfort and my only strength. God, everything else has failed me. And God, I need you. God, would you be everything I need? Would you be my comfort? Would you be my strength? Would you be my encouragement? Would you be all that I need? God, would you help me through this trial? Pour out your heart to him right now, ladies. Just in this moment of quietness, just pour out your heart to God. Ask him to help you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And he wants to help you. He wants to be your strength. Father, I just give every one of these precious women into your hands tonight. God, I pray that as we leave this place, we will be filled with hope and excitement and encouragement and strength, and that, God, we will pour your word into our lives, and we will go out and pour encouragement and the comfort you've given us to all the women around us, from the woman at the checkout stand at the grocery store, God, to the Starbucks barista, to our sister in Christ, the one sitting next to us, God, to the women in our Bible study group, to our neighbor next door, that, God, you would use us to be determined to encourage and to bring your comfort to the world around us. Oh, God, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've saved us. And we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, ladies. I love you. And if you need prayer tonight, I know Lori and some of the other ladies will be available. I'll be available. And if you need prayer and encouragement, if you prayed and asked Jesus to come in your heart, please come up and see one of us. Please, we want to talk to you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to give you more information about the church here. So please, don't be bashful. Come up and get a hug, okay?
Thank you, Mary. Let's